Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
That was you.
Look, they're picture perfect.
See, what we did is we took pictures for 3 weeks, and then we put them up on there, and we used you for our own amusement. Welcome to Wellspring Church.
You guys played along so well, by the way. I mean, y'all did some incredible, awkward, family, funny photos. We appreciate that. Yeah.
That's because we offered to take their picture and put it on Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, people will do anything to get, you will, you know you will. They're like, okay, sure, you're going to put it on Facebook and everybody's going to laugh at it. I'm in. Done. Yeah. Notice whose family you did not see in that picture.
You know why? Because we're running around like chickens.
We're not crazy.
Because we're running around like chickens with our heads cut off on a Sunday morning. So we did not get to take
advantage.
That's
true. We couldn't around our kids
up. Incredible photographers who were taking the pictures. And so that's why our picture wasn't up there. You've seen the behind the scenes of the Kelly family if you saw the promo, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. All right. So we are wrapping up Picture Perfect Family today. And I'm thrilled you guys have been a part of the series. And if you have been a part of it, you know we've really been asking really one central question. And for 4 weeks, we've kind of talked about that question and we've tried to flush it out. But we've really asked one simple question, and it's this: does your picture match God's picture? And what we're talking about is the picture you have for your family, or the picture you have for your future family, or the picture you had for the family, and now it's gone. And so what we really try to help you do is to take your wishes, your wants, your wills, your desires, that's your picture, and begin to bring them in line with God's will, God's wants, God's plans, God's desires, and to make your picture match His picture. Because until you do, until you decide to make your picture match God's picture, you're never going to find the peace and the contentment and the satisfaction and the joy that God really planned for your family. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work unless you bring it in line with what He wants, because He designed it. He's the master. And we kind of have to follow His playbook. And what we've really focused on the last 3 weeks is another principle that comes out of this picture, right? Because as you begin learning about what God wants for your family, what God wants for you, if you're anything like me, it's much easier to see what your spouse is doing wrong. It's much easier to see what your kids are doing wrong. It's much easier to see what your parents are doing wrong, what your aunts and uncles are doing wrong, what your brothers and sisters are doing wrong. And it's easy to focus on them. And so week two, we learned a principle that we've applied the rest of the series, and it's this: if change is what I want to see, that change must first begin in me. And that's because Jesus says, hey, look, I get that you can see everything that's wrong in your family, but you have no ability to control their behavior, and you have some issues yourself. So what I'd like to do is you partner with me, right? Let's work together. You surrender to me. You put into practice what we just sang. All to Jesus I surrender. You do that. You allow me to move through you. You allow me to change you, to make you the person I want you to be. And then you trust that I'm going to move through you to change the world around you and to change the family around you. Last week, we put that principle into practice in our marriages. And because Jesus put us first and loved us first, Paul challenges us to love each other first. Today, we're going to take that same principle, and we're going to talk about parenting. And because we're talking about parenting, Danielle's going to talk. Because I'm not very good at it.
No, he is an amazing father, and he's a great leader. He doesn't like to be the hero of any story. And he just said, last week we talked about marriage, and I wanted to give props to all the husbands. I've been getting texts that you guys gave Yeti cups for Valentine's Day, which means not only did you come to church, then you listened well enough to know what it was talking about, and then you gifted your wife something on Valentine's Day. So way to go, guys. I was really impressed with all my, I got a Yeti cup, you know.
What they did is they bought themselves a Yeti cooler, and the cup came free.
No. And if you're confused by that, go back and watch last week's message, especially if you are dating, want to be dating, married, anything like that. So today, parenting. Real quick, I know looking out in the room, not all of you are parents, so I kind of want to address you really quickly before we dive in. And I wanted to tell you that if you are not a parent yet, and you think you would love to be one day, this is a great day for you to get a leg up, right? If you're not a parent and you've seen me with my children and you're like, that will never be me, then you know what? You can just be a concerned citizen, right, for the general public. And so really, truly though, you more
don't
than
be
likely,
too concerned because that's creepy. Like you, appropriate concern, citizen.
So you know people who have kids because they talk about them all the time. But seriously, you're probably an aunt, uncle. It is a great way, especially if the people in your life are trying to raise their kids and they don't know God. You're here to learn God's truth, and you can use that to try to partner with them in how to get some encouragement and hope in this area of life that is incredibly very, very difficult. It's why they talk about their kids all the time, because they're like me, and they're like, I don't know if I'm equipped to do this. So we really hope to give you a lot of hope today. We hope that you are going to leave here, honestly, with more questions than answers. Our hope today is to start a conversation that you if you have a husband, y'all are going home talking about this. If you're a single parent, you use your circle here at Wellspring that is incredibly encouraging and tight to bounce off, hey, what do I do in this area? I'm not sure, you know. And I know our students, who's always on the front row. If you're a student today and you're like, oh, my goodness. You know, I hope what you hear, truly, I hope what you hear today is how hard your parents work, how concerned they are for you, how much they love you, and how much every single thing they do for you is because of that. They think about your life more than their own. It's a natural thing, and they love you so much. That's what they want.
So could they say, like, everything I do
oh,
it
gosh.
For you?
I'm raising three little of this. Y'all can pray for me, right? I'm just kidding. I love you. I love you.
I thought it was funny.
It was funny.
It's Valentine's Day.
That was funny.
What's better than Brian Adams on Valentine's Day? Robin Hood, baby.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I loved that song growing up. Okay, so.
You did.
I did. Okay, so we, as Trey's been saying, you know, if we want to have the picture that God wants for us, we need to make sure that He is the center and the focus of our parenting, of our life. And we have to trust Him. And there's no other area of life, in my opinion, that is harder than this parenting thing to do that, because you have to have a certain amount of hands-on for this. You're in the trenches. You are doing this, whether your kids are grown and they've left the house, and now they have their own kids that they're like, I don't know what to do. You're in this. Or if you have little ones, you know, at home right now, you get this. It's difficult to turn that trust over to God. But we have to. We just have to do that. And we hope that today in our message we can kind of point to you some practical ways and some truth from God to do that. But one of the questions I wanted to kind of start off with is, do you think about your parenting? Do you pray about what you're doing in your parenting? Do you have conversations with your spouse or with your friends of what your end goal is for parenting? You know, we need to be thinking about those things, and it comes from a place from insecurity for me, why I start asking those questions. So if you feel that way, just know you're not, you're in, we're together. I'm with you. So, you know.
Or if you're just trying to survive,
that's okay,
too.
Right?
Right? Like you're taking enemy fire. There's incoming right now. You're like, I have not thought about any strategy other than getting past the next 5 minutes. Right? That's okay.
Yes. If it's just get me to the next nap time, you know, I get where you are. Okay. So we think it's super important to spend time praying about that, asking questions, having those conversations, which is what we're going to kind of do today. And for us, you know, we have amazing parents, and we often ask them questions. But we also are raising our kids in a different kind of environment because we're in ministry. So we always look to families that are ahead of us in the same kind of life that we have to try to gain wisdom. And I say that to you to say, it's great to have those people in your life. It's great to have those people who are a little bit further down the road from you that you can gain wisdom from, if they're following God with their own life, to ask those questions.
And you also need people behind you so that you can just, like, feel better about yourself. You know, everybody needs that one family where the kids are so bad that you're like, you know, my fear is that right now we're that family.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah, see, it comes from a place of insecurity. God, I don't know if I'm equipped to do this. I don't know if I'm equipped to do that. It's because we know how important it is. We feel the weight of that. And like I said, we listened to some pastors. One of those is Andy Stanley and his wife, Sandra. They have kids that are a little further down the road from us. And so we often listen to their messages and try to gain wisdom from them. And he says this about parenting. Of all the assignments God may give you throughout your time on this earth, none is more sacred than the task of raising kids. And that's where those questions that I have and that insecurity that I'm not equipped to do it comes from, because I know how important it is and you know how important it is. It's literally the next generation of change. You know that if you've been tasked to raise this little person up to go and function in the world on their own, and it's a hard place to live. You get knocked around a little bit. And we really, really want to make sure that we're giving our kids everything they need to go out into this world and love their life and to love God. And we know that that's one of the biggest parts that we have to play in this, is to make sure our children fall in love with God. And we take that very seriously, that this is a huge role. And so since it is such a serious thing, we want to clear up a few things today. One is that we don't have all the answers. Like I said, we'll start today. You'll have more questions than answers, I think. So we don't have all the answers. You're getting frontline intel from people who are just in the trenches, and we're doing this all the time, and going, oh, I don't know what to do. God, help me. And that's what you need to know. We are just two people, normal like you, who ask God to come into the picture. So anything that we're saying up here is possible for your life because of how good God is.
Right. Second thing is that we're not perfect parents, and neither are you. So, you know, we're all the same. It's funny. I've been doing this now for 5 or 6 years, and so I'm used to when I'm going to preach on a topic, like weeks beforehand, God will be like, all right, big boy, you want to preach on this? Let's see if you can live it first. And so this morning, he gave my wife and I the blessing of trying to live this before we came here to teach it.
And I totally failed.
And there was yelling involved.
I mean,
there were threats.
How many times did I tell you to brush your teeth? Have you brushed your teeth?
At one point, one of my children was crying, and I literally said, unless we need to take you to the hospital, you have to stop crying now. Mommy and Daddy have to preach today. Number
true.
One parent, baby.
And hey, we discovered he has healing powers. Who knew the crying stopped? Like immediately.
I really do. My voice heals people because once I said it, he was healed.
Oh,
he stopped crying.
Y'all can, if you know our family, you can take one guess as to which kid that was, Mr. Drama Jacob. Okay. So we don't want you to leave here today bitter at your parents. This is not focusing on anything that anyone else is going to do other than you. And so the other thing is we can all become better parents. We all have that desire, I know. And we hope that today we're going to lay out just God's truth for what that will look like, because all the weeks that Trey has been kind of talking is leading to this week where you get to see that generational change that we're talking about. The reason you're trying to, make sure that your family is matching, your picture is matching God's picture for your family. You get to see that happen. And no one else plays a bigger role in understanding God's character than you as a parent. You literally model God's character, which means if you tend to be more joyful, when they read in God's word that God was joyful, they're going to be able to understand that a little clearer. If you tend to be more patient, when they read that God is a patient God, they're going to tend to be like, oh yeah, I've seen that modeled for me. And so it's a huge weight that we carry whenever we are attempting to live this out in front of our kids. And if we are going to make God the center of all this, then we obviously have to turn to his word. So you're not just going to give parenting advice today. We're actually going to turn to God's word and look at what he says about how we should treat our kids. So,
right. And what she just said about, you know, you being the model of God's character, many of you have experienced this yourself. It's why you were uncomfortable with calling God your heavenly father. Your father wasn't someone you wanted to model. It took you a while to get comfortable with that. And so, again, this isn't to scare you, but it's just to present the gravity of the situation. When you're a parent, your voice is God's voice to them. Until they get old enough to begin discerning it for themselves, they read the Bible, they hear Bible stories with your voice. With your patience or anger, with your love or frustration. They do the same thing to me, which is why Paul, a guy we talk about a lot here at Wellspring, gives us some very clear instructions on parenting. Last week, we actually read one of Paul's letters. For those of you who don't know, Paul was a pastor. He was an early church leader, and Paul would actually write letters to churches that he had started and to other churches to give them instructions. And what we believe as Christians is that God was speaking through Paul when Paul wrote those letters. So the really cool thing is we can read these letters now, almost 2,000 years later, and we know what God wants us to do. Well, one of the letters Paul wrote was to the church at Ephesus. And we read it last week. Ephesians 4 was all about, Ephesians 5 is all about marriage. And, what happens when a man and woman love each other very much and they get married is sometimes they have a little baby. And so Paul picks right up after he talks about marriage. He talks about parenting. And here's what he says in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, fathers, could easily say mothers, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. And if you're like me, you read that and you go, well, I'm out. My kids got angry today because I made them wear shoes to church.
And then they probably took them off because they always do. I don't know why. So if you see our children running around without their shoes on, just know that.
Take them. Take their shoes. Just take them. That'd be great. We could teach them something. But no, he's saying, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Right? So what he's saying is, don't let your behavior, don't let the way you interact with them make them angry. See, Paul's bringing it back to you. He's not saying don't make them angry. He's saying don't provoke them to anger by the way you treat them. And then he finishes it. He says, rather, bring them up in the discipline, with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. What he's basically saying is, when it comes to raising your kids, you need to apply the same grace and the same love and the same forgiveness and the same teaching style your Heavenly Father uses with you as you try to parent and raise them. He's saying Jesus, just like in marriage and parenting, Jesus is the standard. Not your mom, not your dad, not your aunt, not your uncle, not your cousins, not your friends, not even your spouse. Jesus is your standard. You should be trying to parent them the very same way he's trying to grow you. Now, I don't know about you, but that changes the game for me. That's different. I don't often parent my kids the same way Jesus parents me. I cannot remember the last time Jesus yelled at me. I really can't. She can probably tell you the last 5 times I've yelled at our kids.
No, I don't keep
today.
Score.
She just says she doesn't keep score.
I don't.
We'll talk about that another time.
That was for last week.
She doesn't keep score. That was just supposed to be funny. You were supposed to laugh. You didn't laugh, but it's okay. We'll just move on. But no, what Paul's really saying is, right, take it back to the family picture. Take it back to what you want to see in your kids. Take it back to the way you've seen it modeled, the way you were parented. Take all that back together. And he's saying, look, if we want to change the picture, we have to change the process. When it comes to parenting, if we want to change the picture, we have to change the process. Because the process we use provokes our children to anger. And the way I know that is because it provoked you to anger. It provokes you to anger now when a boss treats you a certain way. It provokes you to anger now when any authority in your life speaks down to you, tries to take advantage of you. It bothers you. You don't like it. It's harder to trust it. It's harder to feel it. And what Paul's saying is, hey, look, you don't have to be that way. See, to the first century father, this was stunning because he had unlimited authority over his child. He could do whatever he wanted. And he's saying, yeah, you could do that, but why? Why not allow your Heavenly Father to teach you how to raise your children better than you were raised? So the question we have to ask is, how does God parent us, right? What does God do to raise us?
Yeah, and you know, that's such a great question to kind of lead into. I kind of just illustrate briefly when I do it right, what God does in my heart, whenever I am in the throes of trying to figure out what to do as a parent. So for us, like when Trey was talking about, you know, kind of the process of parenting. And there's a verse in the Old Testament that really kind of points to, piggybacks off of the verse from Paul, right? So if I'm in the middle of like, oh goodness, what am I going to do as a parent? Or they're about to send me over the edge. I want to lock myself in the bathroom until 5:30. And then you start to see the fingers. You go and do that because every mother has done that before, right? And then you start to see the fingers
slide
under the door.
You know what we're talking about? In the bathroom with the door closed and the little fingers come underneath. Looking for you. The students look horrified.
I know,
right now.
They're like,
it's coming. And you probably did it yourself.
Yes.
Mom! She literally just wanted 2 minutes away from you. That's all she wanted.
So I will try to remember, and it's, yeah, I mean.
They're going to flip it because they're like, they feel that way now. They're like, Mom, just leave me alone. Hey, moms, seriously, next time your teenager's in the bathroom, just go knock on the door.
Stick your fingers under it.
Are you in there? Are you in there?
Oh, goodness. I keep thinking whenever our kids are teenagers, I'm going to go wake them up at 5 o'clock just for the heck of it. Just,
yes.
Hey, I'm up.
Yes.
Jump on the bed. Hey, let's party. Just because I'm up, you
wake them
up.
Will you make me some eggs right now?
Right. So, process of parenting. I always try to think through.
It's coming, students. It's coming.
That's right. So, not for a long time.
Oh, no, I don't mean kids. I mean your parents torturing you. That's what I mean. Your parents are still totally cool. They just play that part of embarrassing you to get you back.
No.
They're totally cool. They're like, watch what I can do.
Okay, so.
Back to the message.
Yeah, there's rarely a time when I have to pull you back in. So, the process of God's parenting, I try to, in the moments of my emotional state, because that's what Paul was talking about, you know, am I acting out of my emotional reaction right away? Pause. I need to ask God to come into this, right? What does God say about parenting? One of my favorite things to look at for me personally as a parent is in Deuteronomy 6, Moses is just writing letters to these people. He's talking to God's people. They're about to enter the promised land. And Deuteronomy is all like a recap of what they experienced before they got into the promised land. They're in the desert for 40 years. And he is going through, hey, remember what you've seen God do. Parents, remember what you've seen God do in your life. Remember where he's brought you. When you don't feel equipped, when you don't feel like you can do it, remember where he's brought you. Remember what he's done to you in your life. Remember how much he loves you. He actually, in this passage, is going to refer to the commands. He's talking about the Ten Commandments, Moses is, and which are just God loving you so much, he gave you some things to do. Student, how many of you know that? Your parents love you so much, they give you boundaries that will keep you safe. That's what they're there for, not to ruin your fun and to ruin your life. They're boundaries to keep you safe. That's what you're doing. That's what Moses is doing here to God's people. He's reminding them of that. And I love this verse because it kind of puts in order the process of it. We'll start in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. It says, love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And then he says, always remember these commands I give you today. And I love this because he's talking about God. And then before he's going to talk about the next generation, the generational change that you're so pouring into, he talks about you. He talks about your heart. The same exact thing Trey's been pointing to this whole message. So before I can go into any situation with my children, I need to examine where my heart is. And I love how he talks about, you know, again, before God, before the kids, you have to check your heart condition. Are you in an active relationship with God? Are you growing? Not just coming to church once a week and then you don't even talk about it at all with your children. Oh, it's such a prayer for, it's why we moved here. I pray that we are having generational change in your families for all week long and not just on Sundays, that you have a real alive relationship with Jesus, because that is what's going to help you get through this parenting thing. So he says, love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Always remember the commands I give to you today. And then he says, teach them to your children and talk about them when you sit at home, walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. In other words, you are so in love with me. You are so in love with who God is and what he's doing in your life that you infuse that into everything you're doing at home. It is part of your conversation. And the longer you walk with God, the easier this becomes, especially as your children get older. But it will radically change the moments in your life as a parent where it can turn and go bad or turn and honor God and give him glory and make gains towards the heart of your children and developing a relationship with them.
Right, so let's recap. Paul says, bring your children up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Moses says, love God first, right? So when you're thinking about parenting, the number one thing you have to do is love God. More than you love your kids, more than you love your spouse, you have to love God. Because the only way you can pour out the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord is to receive the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. To have a growing relationship with him. That's why it's first. Mm-hmm. But after you love God, what Moses is saying is our job is to teach and train our children to love God.
That's good.
That's your job. Mm-hmm. It's not to prepare them to get married. It's not to make sure they're the best athlete. Mm-hmm. It's not even to make sure they get great grades and they get a great job. Those are all nice things. Those are all important things. The most important thing is to teach and train our children to love God. If we can get that right, we can trust that our Heavenly Father will take care of everything else. Our job as parents is to love God and to teach and train our children to love God so that they can leave and love God somewhere else.
Oh, the good thing about us is we have, like, I'm like, oh, I wish they'd stay babies forever. And he's like, when are you graduating? You know? So we play well. It's awesome chemistry there. So, you might think, okay, I hear you saying that. I hear in the verse, teach, and it said talk, but that's training. It's like you're a coach. But teach and train kind of sound like the same things, right? So we kind of wanted to unpack that a little bit for you today, what that looks like. And so we're going to kind of talk about the teaching years first. And the teaching years will wear you down. That's when they're little. That's whenever you have the three-nager, when you have the toddler who acts like they're a teenager and you don't know what to do, right? And the hard thing is, what makes these years so difficult is because you're battling for control. A toddler thinks that they are just fine without you, right?
They also think they can run into the road.
Right.
They can't.
Yes.
But they think they can.
Yeah, they cannot reason, and they need a leader in their life. So during these teaching years, which last different for different kids, we'll kind of get to that in a second, but during these teaching years, when they are younger, when they're the preschool age and the toddler age, you really are fighting for control because you're establishing that they need a leader in their life. Now later, you will transition it to God is the leader you need in your life. But you have to teach them early on that their job is to obey. And it's really, really difficult to do. And what I find for me, and I've seen in other families, is either you stay in this camp too long and you kind of control them, and we'll talk about that in a second, or they wear you down and you give up. And your three-year-old has control over you and your family, and they're running everything. Inmates running the asylum.
The teaching years are really about exerting authority. That's in the teaching years, exerting the authority, teaching them right and wrong, teaching them to obey. The teaching years is when you say things like, because I said so.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't reason with a five-year-old. You can try, but it's pointless.
Yep.
It's about teaching them that there's something in their life smarter and wiser and bigger and better than they are that's going to give them rules that they have to follow. That's the end of it. You follow these rules. Now, as she said, most parents that do this well stop here. And that's where you live forever. That's got to stop. We're going to talk about that transition in a minute. But in the teaching years, you are exerting authority. It's our job to teach them, and it's their job to obey. That's your goal in the teacher, in the preschool, the toddler years. You want to teach them to obey.
And it's really difficult. So I hope today that you are encouraged, that you're doing the right thing if you're attempting to do this. And if you're not doing it, be challenged to go home and say, you know what? I'm going to start to follow God's way of trying to parent my toddler, and I'm going to allow them to see that I'm the leader they need. And sometimes no is just no. I cannot reason with them. For instance, one time, they will not like it. I'm going to tell you, it won't be smooth, especially if they've kind of had control of the house. One time, which we said John is what? What did you say? John's a picture of hope, our middle son. He was the worst toddler. I really didn't think I was going to survive it. And then we had another baby. What was I thinking?
Right, and he wasn't just bad. Like, he was scary. Like, see, we're getting nauseous. Because he wasn't like Jacob is mischievous, and he'll laugh and smile. And you're like, oh, John was just like stone cold, stare at you and be like, I'm not going to do it. Like, he would look at me like, I'm going to kill you one day. keep going, old man. Keep going.
One time.
I'm going to take you out.
He was either two or three. They had, it was like between a 2 or 3 hour standoff.
It was so hard. It was the worst thing in the world. I said, tell your mom thank you. He wouldn't do it. No, tell her thank you. 2 hours later, still wouldn't do it.
Over a Skittle.
I wanted to quit. I was like, this is stupid. He'll forget. But in the teaching years, you have to exert authority. You have to exert control. Then, somewhere between teenager and toddler, it changes with the kid. You have to love God first and pray. You have to drastically make a change. You have to drastically change away from the teaching, and you have to move towards training. That's what I think Moses makes very clear in the verse where he says, teach them to your children, talking about teaching them God's command, and then talk about them when you sit at home and walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. What that really means is you need to make God's plan for your life a part of your daily life. It needs to be a part of the conversation you have with your children. And that conversation shifts, right? When they're in the teaching years, it's not much of a conversation. It's do this, and they're supposed to say yes.
Yeah, like Jacob has been asking for a girl brother forever. And
he's
answer is simply
one.
No. Like, no, it's not best for you. It's not best for us. We're not getting into a discussion. Girl brother equals no. No.
Yeah, he's not getting one. So what, you know, Danielle talked, we shared a couple weeks ago about, you know, the jar she puts where we have conversations, and we're trying to create a climate of conversation with our kids because we're trying to shift, especially for the older two, from the teaching to the training, from simply do this because we said so to coming alongside and saying, let me show you, you know, how you should do this. And those conversations take different forms. You know, I was really blessed to be able to have a conversation with my son, John.
We're on the way
to school one day.
I made him tell the story, by the way. He doesn't like to be the hero of any story. And this is really just a picture of God, what it's like when you invite God in to every part of your life and every conversation you have. So, I wanted to say that. He felt uncomfortable when I was like, you have to share that story. So go. Sorry.
Okay.
I don't want to interrupt you anymore.
So, long story short, I was taking John to school, and he said, hey, Dad, when can I get baptized? And so we started having a conversation that ended with me being able to lead him to Jesus in the car. On the way to school. And that's not something that really happens as much in the teaching years as it does in the training years. Mm-hmm. Because it's in the training years that we really stop exerting authority. And please hear me. We begin to earn influence. Mm-hmm. And that's very different. You know that because you have people in your life who exert authority over you. And you don't like it. When your boss comes to you and tells you to do something, you don't receive it with love and, oh, they want the best for me. You just think, what a moron. I have to do this, right? And some of you felt that way about your parents when you were growing up. Some of you are parenting that way right now. And that's how your kids feel. And I'm not saying you're still not in charge. You're still the boss. Jesus is my boss. But Jesus not only exerted authority over me, he earned influence by putting himself in my position, by sacrificing himself for me. And by walking with me in life. And that's where we have to transition to. We have to transition to earning influence in our children's lives, joining them, walking with them as they go through life. Go ahead and read the verse.
Yeah, really so obviously the training years brings to mind the verse in Proverbs 22:6, where it says, train a child in the way he should go, and he will not turn from it. And that's a promise. It's a promise, and you notice it doesn't say teach. It's not saying to stand in front of and instruct. It's saying train, which means come alongside them. You know, and this is when you transition, and it's different for every kid, because our first kid, we can tell, and this probably started when he was like 6. He just was more of an obedient child. We could tell him once to go do something, and he would say, yes, ma'am, and he'd go do it. And Jacob, we're still trying to establish control of. So it just depends on what your kid. You have to know your flock, as I like to say. You have to know them, which is why you have to have that relationship with them where you're constantly having these conversations so that you can gain influence so that you can point them to Jesus. That's what all this is about. And this is really, honestly, where I as a parent have loved it. It's so fun because you kind of get to partner with your child in the war against sin, in the war against the things that Satan is trying to drag them down on. He's trying to take their significance from them of who they are. They're starting to see it in the eyes of other people, and you're like, no, God's got that. He says who you are. You get to partner with them to see it. One of my favorite go-to phrases that I like to try to do, talk with David, when we're talking about something, one of the things I always try to lead with is, when he's struggling, is let me tell you how God does this in my life. Let me tell you how God changed my heart on this. Let me tell you how I have to ask God to help me treat people who I don't think deserve to be treated a certain way, the way he would. Let me tell you how God does this in my life. And if you have a growing relationship with God, if he is the center, if he is the focus, if he is your trust, then that will automatically start coming into your conversations with your kids.
And another big difference between the teaching and the training is, you know, when you're in the teaching years, when you're exalting authority, when they act out, you give them discipline. You know, you take things away, you punish them. Well, what we found is in the training years, you still have to do that, but it has to change. Like, we're not super big on, and if you do, you know, again, this is our way, this is a way, not the way. We're not super big on grounding our kids or, like, taking things away. Our goal is really to help them understand the natural consequences of their sin. Again, because Jesus doesn't punish me for my sin. Mm-hmm. I sin every day. Jesus has never grounded me or sent me to my room. He's never said when I sin, well, I'm going to take your blessing away today. Mm-hmm. He doesn't do that because my punishment was paid on the cross.
Yep.
Now, what happens when I sin is that I suffer the natural consequences of those decisions, which is why Jesus so desperately tries to keep me from sinning, because he doesn't want me to hurt myself. So what we try to do with our kids as they get older, they move towards the training years, like if Jacob tells a lie, Jacob goes to his room. If David tells a lie, we sit down with him and we explain that that lie broke. Like if he lies to his mom, I'm not going to yell at him. I'm not going to send him to his room. I'm going to say, you need to go apologize to your mom. You broke the relationship with her. You have to go fix that. You know, when they're fighting with each other, a great example lately is Jacob loves to attack John, and John's bigger than Jacob. And so John will just say, no. And then the other day, Jacob literally ran into John's fist and, like, wanted us to punish John. And I was like, Jacob, you shouldn't have attacked. No, he is not in trouble for stopping you from hitting him. You crazy child.
I think I literally said, you got blocked. That's what you deserved.
Right. Now, see, that's the difference. That's the training of it. It's trying to help your children see. They don't obey because you said so. They don't even obey because God said so. They obey because it's better to obey. They obey because you do not suffer the natural consequences of sin when you don't sin. And so it's real important to begin teaching your children that. They've got to see it in your life. They've got to see you model it. Raise your hand if you can tell me the last time God yelled at you. All right. So how many of you apologize to your kids when you yell at them? I do. Every single time.
Begrudgingly, if I'm honest.
I'm wrong.
You deserved it.
I'm wrong. God's never yelled at me.
No.
He's never yelled at me, ever. He's never punished me. He's taught me. He's never acted in anger towards me. And if we want to transition from the teaching to the training years, that's why the relationship with Jesus is so important, is because it's through him that we learn, it's through him that we are changed so that we can model that for our kids. You do not want to model for your kids that you are perfect, because then it will be an unattainable goal. Yep. You want to model for your kids that Jesus is perfect and that you're following him just like you are. And one of the best ways to do that is to share with them when you struggle and to share with them when you make a mistake. That's part of the training. You shift from exerting authority to earning influence, mm-hmm. by coming alongside, by coaching, by picking them up, by not embarrassing them in front of other people, by not taking the fact that they embarrassed you in public and you feel bad about it. So to make yourself feel better, you're going to yell so those parents you don't even like will go home and think you're a better parent because you yelled at your kid. And don't all look at me like that, because you've all done it.
He's saying it because we've experienced it and we've done it ourselves for sure.
She's the worst. I'm just kidding.
I know.
She does it all the time. No, I do it all the time. We all do it, right? Because we start looking at other people. And what Paul's screaming and what Moses is screaming is, look, don't let anybody else be your standard for parenting except your Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. Because the task of raising those kids is the most important thing you'll ever do. Because it goes back to what we've been talking about this entire series. That is what produces generational change.
Yeah, in your family.
That's where it happens. And if you want that, if that's your desire, if that's the goal, if that's what you really hope to see, kids that love Jesus more than you do, kids who raise kids who love Jesus more than they do, kids whose pictures are naturally exactly where Jesus wants them to be, then you have to love God. And you have to teach and train your kids to love God.
Yeah, you know, as we're talking, and I said it would probably create more questions than answers, we wanted you to go have a conversation today, either within your circle or with your spouse. We wanted to let you know that with that, we didn't want to send you out empty-handed. We wanted to kind of give you a resource that Trey and I have studied as we've been attempting to find out how God wants us to parent. And it's called The Parental Guidance Required by Andy Stanley. It's just a short workbook that you can go through, and it's got some DVDs that go with it. You can find it on Amazon.
Yeah, you can get it on Amazon. It's like $10.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, and so you can. There's it's just been a great resource for us to continue those conversations. Like I said, that we would love for you to have as you really seek to turn to God on how to parent. And I promise you, all the work, all the funny stories you've heard up here, all the sleepless nights, all the worry. It's worth it. If there's one work that's worth it, it's the last 2 weeks that we've talked about in your relationships, your marriage, and with your kids. And it's been fun to get poked and prodded to say, are you going to live this before you teach it? So thank you for that. I appreciate how you guys have offered the chance for us to make sure that, for sure.
Yeah, as we wrap it up, as we wrap up this message and we wrap up this series, I bring it back to the question that only you can answer. And it will determine what your family and your future family look like. And the question is this: does your picture match God's picture? My prayer is over the last 4 weeks that it's begun to change. And that your desires and wants and hopes for your family have begun to come back in line with what Jesus wants for your family. And I hope your picture really has changed. I hope your family really has changed. I hope it continues to change. I hope that you continue to try to embrace the truth we learned week one. If we want our home to match God's heart, we first must make our heart God's home. And that's the hope you can leave with today. Mm-hmm. God is alive.
He'll equip you.
He raised his son from the dead to show off for you. It was a picture of his power. He was powerful enough to raise his son from the dead. He can raise your family. And it was a picture of his promise. A promise of what I did for my son, I'll do for everyone who believes in him. Mm-hmm. So no matter where you stand today, no matter where your family is, no matter how far off that picture looks, if we want our home to match God's heart, we first must make our heart God's home. You cling to Jesus. You trust Jesus. You chase Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you beg him to move through you, to transform the world around you so that you too have that picture perfect family that God's always desired for you and he's ready to do through you if you just follow him. Let me pray for you. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you that you are so powerful. We thank you that you want to move through us. We thank you that you're at work even when we don't know it. So, Father, right now I pray that you move in us, change in us what you want to change. Father, I pray for the families in the teaching years. I pray for the family in the training years. I pray for the family who should be in the training years, but they're still in the teaching years. Lord, give us wisdom today. Show us how to transition. Father, I pray for the families that feel like they've blown it. Lord, remind us that you can make any family a picture-perfect family. When we put you at the center, may we cling to you, may we trace you, and may we trust you to transform our families. It's in your son's amazing and holy name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.